The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Hey, welcome to the Hardline 5-Minute Fan, KFMAT5MinuteFan.com. Believe it or not, you are in for a treat, Jonathan Edgar Hadley. Now, the percentages are a little bit messed up. 2 out of 3 days is actually what has happened here. The percentage is a little weird, 66% of the time.
Now, technically, it's 67%.
Okay, I'm not giving you the roundup. So we're going to stay at 66. Because you came into segment 4 late on Monday. So 66%, and I don't know how this has happened. Again, a little bit different. You would have had to be there at least 4 days to hit over 60%, so a little skewed. But I don't know. I think people are probably pretty surprised to hear your voice right now, John.
I think you're misreading the look. It's not surprise, it's utter glee. Glee is what you're saying.
Before we get going on some NBA, did you have a chance to watch Alex Morgan and her little cup of tea?
Yeah, the funny thing is, the women on this team are always one to say, well, what if it were the men's team? Well, I know that there are a lot of men's teams through the years that have been ridiculed and have become sort of this U.S. women's team pulls. And, you know, it is what it is. The easiest way to shut them up is to beat them. Apparently, you can't. But when it comes to the U.S. women's team, the sheer arrogance level is as high and as annoying as any men's professional team I've ever seen in my life. And I mean that sincerely. I mean, these women are some arrogant individuals on the pitch. But what's the old saying? If you walk the walk, you can talk the talk. So I just don't care for it because that's just not how I think sports should be played. I really don't. I just don't. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, look, you do this once every 4 years. It is the only time that people really pay attention to these girls at all. It's like they have their followings largely because of this, but they would not be very well known on a national scale, certainly not an international scale, without the World Cup. Soccer is just not that big of a deal in the United States. So they're taking their moment to become as famous as they possibly can. And I would not handle it that way. I think Alex Morgan... She's talked a lot, and then of course with her celebration here. Now, I won't ridicule the celebration. Do whatever you want. However, just because you want to be the boys doesn't mean you have to act like the boys. She's arguing that she wants to play and be paid like the boys. Well, that doesn't mean you have to act like a jackwagon like the boys too, right? If the boys are acting stupid. Oftentimes, we know this just as guys in general, we've been married, we have a lot of really ridiculously stupid ideas and the girls set us straight. You know, it's like what some of the dumbest ideas in history were a group of guys sitting around because there was no girl there to tell them it was ridiculous. Oftentimes, when there are a group of guys having a testosterone contest, if there's a girl there to say, that's a little weird, then that stupid decision is not made. Just because the guys are doing something stupid, and she watches this happen in the NFL all the time. It happens in the NBA now where there's not even a stoppage. You just celebrate after a three-pointer. Just because they act really stupid does not mean you have to join in as well.
I tend to agree. I mean, and besides that, even more so on an international scale, aren't you supposed to show some modicum of respect to your opponent?
Well, I do wonder,
I mean, what was she doing with those actions? What was she doing?
Well, she was taunting, and I wonder if it was actually kind of a shot at their coach who called them arrogant before the game, and she said, "You want to see arrogant? Here it is." And it was, if you remember the port, the coach called them arrogant for going to scout the hotel for that they would be staying in for the final.
See, once again, I go back to, you know, I go back to the simple things in life. When people want to tell me, "Oh, this guy's successful because look at the money he's made." Well, you know what? I'm more impressed with the guy who raised four kids who are now raising their own families, and everybody has become productive. All the kids are taken care of. I am more impressed with a guy who can raise a family that thrives in today's society than I am how much money a guy makes. Because there's a lot of asses with a lot of money.
Yeah, I think that's true.
For a guy to bring up his family in the right way, to me, that's impressive. That's real simple. To me, you want to shut someone up, just point to the scoreboard. I mean, is there really anything that you can do that's more humiliating than beating your opposition? Is there anything more that's a bigger statement maker than beating your opposition? I don't know. Again, I'm an old boy. I'm 58. See, where I come from, and I might be able to get away with it with a wig because of my breasts, but I'd have punched her. And I'm serious. I'd have punched her and said, "Okay, now what? You mock me, and now you're missing two teeth. Go get those fixed. See how your boyfriend likes that." See, I'm old school. Just take care of your business. Just take care of your business. And they did. All that other crap, I mean, it's just, you know. By the way, ladies, you haven't looked that good this tournament. When you've had to play legitimate competition, you barely won. So don't act like you're so untouchable. And frankly, if the Netherlands advance, I think the Netherlands would beat this team with the way that they played, to be honest with you.
Well, we will...
And we'll find out in what... almost by the end of the show, we'll know. We'll know whether the Netherlands advance or not. So
there you go. All right, let's get into some NBA talk. John, you have been talking way too much off the air about basketball, so we decided to bring it on the air so that everybody can hear some of your rambling, worthless ideas about what is what in the NBA. You happen... to think that the Warriors are going to be really good. By the way, Vegas agrees with you. I looked up the odds, and I do not think they have shifted, but I think they were somewhere right in the range of the fifth or sixth most likely team. Odd Shark had their stuff up. I think it was betonline.ag. And they were they were tied for fourth. They were plus 1,000 there with Houston and Toronto. This was as of Tuesday there. They are right in the thick of things, and that is largely because you obviously had the re-signing of Klay Thompson. ACLs are not nearly as difficult to come back from as they used to be. In fact, I would not be surprised to see him being the exact same player that he was by mid-season. And you obviously have a healthy Steph Curry, which is nice. You have D'Angelo Russell trade. Now, you did have to give some things up. You traded away Andre Iguodala. The team is not going to look the same. I'll tell you, a new-look team is not the worst thing in the world. When you got Klay Thompson, Draymond Green still there, and Steph Curry, we saw that you could not weather the storm of losing both Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. But had they kept... Klay Thompson. Had they kept Klay Thompson on the court, I think that game certainly goes to seven, and perhaps they win it. The other thing is... I don't think Steph Curry in the offense was used to operating without Kevin Durant. I know he was out a little bit at different times, but if you tailor the offense back to the Steph Curry that we saw pre-Kevin Durant there 4 years ago, they were thriving. And to get him a few more shots and a few more touches per game, I don't see that being a bad thing at all.
Well, this basketball team is a Draymond Green suspension and injuries away from having won 5 straight championships.
Yep.
And if Klay Thompson can get 18, 24 games under his belt before postseason play to get his legs underneath him, along with Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell, and I think a very nice signing in Cauley Stein, with what they've done up to this point, they're still relevant. They're still very relevant. You know, so and let me tell you something right now. Again, it's funny how people, if there is one player that just continues to be disrespected in many ways, it's Steph Curry. Well, again, he normally has a last laugh. And if anybody, I'm not taking anything away from Toronto, because they could have folded, they could have been bad and not won. But if there's just no way, if Durant and Thompson are 100%, no way Toronto wins that series. This doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I mean, look what happened in game one of that series, and look what happened when Durant came back and was healthy. For what? A half? Less than a half?
Yeah, it was a different team when he's on the floor. No doubt about that.
You know, so I'm not taking anything away from Toronto. Not remotely. What I'm saying is, the only reason you don't have a four-time champion in the last 5 years is because of injuries. Draymond Green, I still firmly believe that Golden State, if Draymond Green's not suspended, I believe Golden State beats Cleveland that series. I think they win that series. I think it's 5 straight. But, that's strictly conjecture. There's no conjecture. I don't care how you want to phrase it, justify it. There's no conjecture. If Golden State is 100% healthy, they don't lose that series. And the fact of the matter is, 3 of the 4 most important components could be on the court next year during the same time. You throw in D'Angelo Russell, who's a very good player, Willie Cauley-Stein, who's almost a perfect fit, big lanky guy who can run, and he can run the court. He's a versatile player. He's a very, very underrated signing. They're going to be an interesting team to watch, and I guarantee you there could be another piece. And let me tell you something. If there is one remaining player that could alter the course of this league, despite what people want to say about him, because once again, you always sort of get poo-pooed if you're not if you're not politically correct, if you're not the most responsible guy. And, you know, DeMarcus Cousins has done enough stuff on and off the court, or I understand he's not the most favorite player for most basketball fans. But let me tell you something right now. If Golden State finds a way that they could bring DeMarcus Cousins back, which is unlikely, but if they do, Golden State can beat any team. With Russell, Curry, Thompson, and DeMarcus Cousins, along with guys like Looney and Cauley-Stein and others that can provide some support, Golden State could beat anyone. I'll tell you another thing, too, in the West. Another team that's supposedly very interested in eyeing DeMarcus Cousins, keeping an eye on his market, is the Houston Rockets. You put DeMarcus Cousins on the Houston Rockets right now, they can play with anybody. They can play with anybody. Anybody. And then you go to the East, and the team that apparently the contender that is most interested in is the Boston Celtics. They have to find a way to clear some space to get him. But you put DeMarcus Cousins on the Boston Celtics, who can't they play with? So, you know, there is all these players, nobody out there to be had anymore, yada, 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 yada. DeMarcus Cousins can alter the course of this league with his signing. And if it's with Golden State, not remotely surprised to see them back in the Western Conference Championship game. If it's Houston, not remotely surprised to see Houston win the Western Conference. If it's Boston, not remotely surprised to see Boston win the Eastern Conference. DeMarcus Cousins remains an enigma, but a very, very valuable piece for a contender. And I just got to believe that a contender will take a shot on him, and he'll take lesser money, because DeMarcus Cousins can also be an absolute huge mistake for a middling team. You don't take a chance on DeMarcus Cousins unless it's going to win you a championship. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it, no matter what anybody wants to say.
John, I don't think anybody wants to argue with you. It's kind of a waste of time, and you'll be dead before they finish their argument. More importantly, though, I think DeMarcus Cousins is getting a little bit older. How old is he now, actually, now that I'm saying that? DeMarcus Cousins' age, John. I'm putting that in Google. He's 28, so he is nearly exactly my age. And he is going to be 29 by the start of the season. He has suffered a torn Achilles. He has suffered a somewhat debilitating quad injury that kept him out for a while as well. When you start down this, especially as a big man, right? He's not exactly a small cat. He's 270 pounds at 6'11". When you're a big fellow like that and you start down this trail of injuries, the likelihood of you getting injured again is very high. Especially, look, when you have your Achilles blow, then the rest of your body is compensating for the lack of explosion, for the lack of balance, for the lack of everything that Achilles, a healthy Achilles tendon, once offered. Now everything else is in a position where it has to be compensating, and that's how you start to injure other things. I'm not so sure that I would give. I know he was playing for next to nothing last year. I would be surprised if he plays for a small contract this year. He'd be looking for his money, and he needs to, because if he doesn't get his money now and he comes out with one more injury, and it's not out of the question that it's an ACL or something rough like that coming into next year, then he's in bad shape coming off an Achilles tear that kept him out most of his season, a quad injury that kept him out of the playoffs for a while, and then what would be a third injury within a 2.5-year span. That's a bad look.
Well, again, I could always look at the worst-case scenario in life, but as an analyst, I have to look at the positive as well. So you can sit there and make all the excuses you want about what might be. Do you still have his stats up in front of you?
Oh, I sure do.
What, he played an average about 25 minutes a game last year?
Yep, sure did, 25.7.
And what 25.7, so 26 minutes a game? What was his line? How many points a game?
16 points a game, 48% from the field, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. But that's in 30 games, which is what we're talking about, and he still had some injury issues. In 2017, before he tore his Achilles,
games. 27 minutes, and he had those numbers. Now, tell me about the previous year. Tell me about 2018.
48 games played before the Achilles, 36 minutes he was playing, scored 25, 12, and 5, which is when he was a dominant, dominant player. Now, you can make the argument on your side, too, that those numbers would have been even better in 2018 had he not been sharing the ball with everybody. But you can also make the argument that he doesn't get any of that as easy as he does, because everybody around him is so good and the defense had to play out.
No. 26 minutes a game against 38 minutes a game. Okay? So at about 50% of his numbers, increase his numbers by 50% this year, and they will match the previous year. Now, how the hell could any team not want a guy who in 38 minutes can get you 25 points, double-digit rebounds, shoot from the floor, probably pick you up a couple steals and a couple blocks a game?
Well, I'm not telling you people won't sign him. They're throwing $80 million at people I've never heard of. I'm not telling you nobody will sign him. I'm just telling you it's something to look out for, and on a max type of deal, that is something I'd be leery of.
Oh, nobody's going to give him a max kind of deal. He's going to make so much less money than – he may make less money this year than last year.
Oh, there's no way. What did he make last year? Didn't he make like $5 million?
I'm telling you, he's not going to make that much money, even if he makes $9, $10 million. He's not going to make outrageous money this year.
In 2017, he made $17 million. In 2018, let's see here, it was $5 million. Yep. So he's gone up and down. Now, he has certainly made some money. Early on in his career, his first 3 years in the league with the Kings, he made under four. Then in year four with the Kings, he made just under five, and then that's when it really kicked in. He made 13.7 and 14.7. Then with the Pelicans, he made 15.7 and 18. And then last year, five in a down year. If you're telling me that he's the same player he was with the Pelicans, why wouldn't you pay him at least 10?
Because you may not have to. I'm telling you, the market for him is not going to be that big. It's going to consist of contenders. They're going to wait it out, see if they can get him cheaply. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, and again, cheaply for me, you get to Marcus Cousins for $10, $12 million, you're getting him cheap. You get him for five, you're getting a steal.
Yeah, I mean, even with the time that he missed, stunned if they got anybody got him for $5 million.
Well, again, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm saying it's possible.
It is possible. Now,
nobody's paying him $20 million, TJ. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, he's not made it yet, but I have seen some crazy money thrown around. But to my point, I wouldn't do that either because you're dealing with a guy who's now – he's got a – look, big bodies don't deal with injuries as well as guys like Russell Westbrook. Well, Russell Westbrook can have an injury, and he's going to get back. May not be quite as explosive, but he's going to get back and be exactly who he was. Kevin Durant coming off this Achilles is not going to be as easy when you're taking 7 feet tall and you're skinny as a rail to begin with. You know, I played with a guy, Travis Ruth, had the same foot injury that I had, and it was really tough to bring back a 320-pound body compared to what I was 180 pounds. It was a lot easier to recover from these injuries and stay injury-free. I didn't get injured at all my entire college career. Travis was injured all the time. So that is the type of thing we're looking at. When you are now getting to the 20, look, 30 is kind of your magic number. Your body just doesn't heal like it used to. He will be 29 at the start of this year. He can still be an effective player, but I would look out. John, the Brooklyn Nets.
Whoa, sir. What you're saying is you wouldn't sign him.
No, what I'm saying was I wouldn't overpay for him, and we're in agreement there. So the Brooklyn Nets have figured out a way to put a bunch of dueling personalities in one room, and I think not be all that effective, certainly next year. Anybody who's willing to pay, this is somewhat absurd. I think Brooklyn has the third or fourth, I will look it up now as we speak, the third or fourth best odds to win the championship next year, which makes absolutely
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so the same stuff I was looking, yes, they are plus 900, tied with Philly as the tied for the third best odds to win the 2020 NBA title. Without Kevin Durant, it's anybody betting on this has lost their mind.
They have no chance of winning the championship.
No.
None whatsoever.
No, they certainly do not. But they do have some names, and they'll be interesting.
Now, proper supplementation next offseason leading into Durant and Kyrie. Okay. I can see it. Because I will never, I don't quite understand why Durant spends so much time basically arguing with himself, but I certainly have an incredible amount of respect for this cat's ability when he has the basketball in his hand.
Yep.
And Kyrie has made some big shots in his life. So, I mean, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to a 1-2 punch, you can talk Joe Davis and LeBron. Considering LeBron's age, Kyrie and Durant, I think, is pretty much their equal, to be honest with you. You know, so if you want to take the supposed biggest of the big right now with those two, I'll tell you that with LeBron being a year older, New Jersey will have just as good a 1-2 punch next year as the Lakers. No question. No whatsoever.
Now, we do know that I'm looking at the potential value bets here, John.
Actually, I better be clear because I'm talking present tense, meaning when I say next year, I'm not talking about the 2019-2020 NBA season because I already consider the 19-20 season to be this season that's upon us. And I'm talking about New Jersey being a contender in 2021.
Yeah.
Just to make that clear.
Yep. The value bet for the 19-20 season here, maybe Denver. Denver sitting there at plus 1,600. Denver was a good team last year that they ended up, they signed Jamal Murray to a five-year, $170 million deal, and they may be getting back basically a lottery pick in Michael Porter Jr., who's going to be playing in Summer League. And so if he is fully healthy, you add that to Bobo, and you're kind of in a place where that team, it for plus 1,600, you put that down.
I'll tell you what, there were two steals in this draft, one by Portland and one by Denver. If Bobo is not injured, he's a first-round pick, probably an upper-half first-round pick. You got Porter Jr. coming in, as you mentioned, with the cast last year that played very strong basketball. Denver's fun. Denver's legit. You know, and that's, it goes back to what I said, you know, as these players are signing on Monday. Again, I love the notion of going into an NBA season thinking that 8-10 teams have a legitimate chance of winning. I mean, hell, we haven't even talked about Utah, and they've become like the golden child. Everybody loves that Utah starting five, and rightfully so. And it's a team that's been very competitive, and they have better starting talent than they have since the days of Malone and Stockton.
They are right behind Denver. You know, they are plus 2,000, 20-1 there.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I love what I'm going to see this year in the NBA. And I'll tell you what, we saw it in the playoffs last year in the NHL, and I think we're going to see it again this year. I still clearly think on paper, Tampa Bay is the best team in the league. But that said, would I be shocked to see Boston win the East? No. Would I be surprised to see Washington win the East? No. Would I be surprised to see Pittsburgh win the East? No. Would I be surprised to see Florida win the East? No. I mean, we can go right down the list. In the West, Blues, Dallas,
Winnipeg.
Nashville, Winnipeg.
Basically the Central.
I mean, no, I was going to say, and one team that's done very nicely during the postseason that should be improved is Minnesota. Yeah. And once again, another team in the Central.
Yeah, they picked up Zuccarello, didn't they?
Huh? Yeah. And so basically my entire point all year long is going to be there are a number of teams in the East that can win, and the Western Conference will produce their opponent in the Stanley Cup. And there's just no question in my mind that that's going to be the case. The Blues division will once again produce the Western Conference champion. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. Because as much as I like Calgary's team, they haven't done enough to put themselves over the top, and they still have suspect goaltending, which makes them very, very problematic. San Jose's taking a step back. You know, the Kings could be better, but they've been just so horrid. I like their new coach. He's almost a perfect fit for them. Edmonton has some talented, skilled young forwards that could still be better, but their defense is so atrocious. Yada, yada. You can just go right down the list. But I think the next year, if we look at what is the 2019 football season, the 2019-2020 NHL and NBA seasons, I think clearly of those three leagues, the best division among those three sports will be the Blues Central Division this year. I really do believe that. It is just so ridiculously stacked. It's incredible.
John, I got to tell you about our friends over at Royal Banks. RoyalBanksOfMo.com. That is where you can visit them online if you are tech savvy. John is not tech savvy, so you can go to one of their 11 area locations. They are on virtually every corner here in the St. Louis market. John visits two or three per day to try to get his fill of donuts and or whatever they are offering that day to him and wherever he scrounges up from their desk. He gets coffee, he gets donuts, he gets whatever he needs. But what the rest of us are trying to consume oftentimes is perhaps a loan. They have a commercial lending department. They understand the pressure of running a business in today's competitive world. And to effectively manage and build your business, you require the best financial services a bank can offer. Royal Banks of Missouri has those tools to maximize your cash flow and your management. They are a premier community bank. They know that speed is critical to your success. That is why the relationship managers and their entire branch staff are dedicated to creating opportunities for your business. So go check them out, 314-212-1500. They can get you a line of credit if you need it. They can get you term loans, an SBA loan, a lot of things, a construction loan, John, for whatever you're trying to build there in your backyard. Any and everything they can get you. Again, 314-212-1500. That is Royal Banks of Missouri. Royal Banks, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender, John.
Hey, you don't have to convince me. I'm 100% sold on Royal Banks. Too legit. Too legit to quit, Rock. Go to break.
Rock. Rock. Go to break.